heaven high, heaven high.
Welcome back, stoners, to another episode of I'm Too Effin High. I'm your high host, James Mastriani. Super excited for this show. Super excited to have you. I'm very high. Been a real hot week. Got in a little fender bender today. Decided I just needed to, really prepare for the show tonight. Get extra high earlier. Just take a little of the stress off. So I feel great. Also feel great because we got a great show tonight with two really great comedians. It's a special show that we've done in the past, Stoners versus Sobers. And if you're not familiar with the show, if this is your first time, this is the show where we get comedians high on cannabis and have them do comedic challenges to prove that marijuana makes everything funnier. That's the show. Been doing it almost 5 years now. It's a live show before the pandemic. It's a live stream during the pandemic. It's a podcast that comes out every Tuesday. So keep tuning in with us. We've got great shows lined up. So we're glad you're here and hopefully you're high and stoned and ready to go. But before we meet the comedians tonight, gotta say hello to my right-hand man who's very, very stoned. He's very, very high today. Please welcome DJ Blue Dream.
Hold up. Smoke weed every day. Smoke.
Man, I am so I'm on the top crest of a wave of two edibles. So I'm fucking, woo. I'm blazed and it's great. It's great.
Oh man, good to be here. That's good for you.
It's good. It's good to be in a place where that's perfectly not just acceptable, but the whole point.
The whole point. Yeah.
The whole point.
So where are you on the scale? Like where, if you're cresting on a couple edibles, where are you? Are you an 8, 8.5, 9 on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm going to say like 8.5.
8.5. Okay.
A solid 8.5. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I haven't been a 10 since the first time I dabbed. I feel like that was a 10 for me.
That'll get you there.
I was in a different dimension. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Dabbing will get you to a 10. That'll get you to a 10.
Yeah.
Edibles will too, though. Edibles will too.
Yeah.
I'd say right now, I'm about a 7.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm about a 7. But don't worry. I know how to climb.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in this show today, DJ Blue Dream, we have two really great comedians. One is stoned. Mm-hmm. One is not. Right? And we're going to toss some fun challenges their way. And we're just going to see like, what does it do? How does it change things? You know, this is science, man. You keep one variable, you change another variable, you write stuff down on a clipboard, numbers and weird letters. And then you put it all in like a centrifuge and you just see what comes out. Fucking science, man. And that's how we're going to get a vaccine.
I see you've been reading A Brief History of Time. That was a direct quote from Stephen Hawking, right? That's science.
Right, man. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You know me. I'm a big science jock. That's what they're called, right? Science jocks. I'm a jock for science.
Sure.
Why don't we meet our comedians here?
Yeah. Let's bring them out. Super excited to have them.
Yeah, me too. Please, please welcome for the first time, both of them for the first time here, Frank Castillo and Emily Catalano.
Stop and hit the ball like Cheech and Chong. The sale takes from here to Hong Kong. So roll, roll, roll my joint. Pick out the seeds and stems.
Hey guys, how are you?
Well, hello.
Good.
Hello, hello. So super excited to have you guys here. And like I said before, you know, we've got a stoner and we've got a sober. Frank Castillo here is going to be he's our stoner. He's the high variable, and Emily, you are the sober. Um, and And so let's just start with this question. And we'll start with you, Emily. So what is your relationship to cannabis? Do you have one now? Have you had one in the past? Has it ever entered into your life?
I've never actually really been into it. I don't know. I wasn't that like cool growing up. I was kind of a loner. So like my friends didn't really smoke it. So I wasn't really around it. And then, then I did like older, like when I was older and it didn't take.
It just like, didn't work like, with your brain chemistry.
Yeah. No, it wasn't good.
That happens sometimes. You get a little paranoid or maybe you get some anxiety. Like,
yeah.
Yep. Totally understand.
Yeah. I felt super paranoid.
Now, do you think if you hadn't been a loner when you were in high school, if you had peer pressure, do you think things would have turned out differently for you and you would have ended up a big pothead?
I think I would have just like known how to like manage it. But like now I feel like it's just too late to like learn
just too
a
late.
New hobby.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, probably. Yeah, that makes sense. I think you can't learn new hobbies after like 19 or 20 or something like that. Yeah.
I'm already like pretty like slow anyways. So I don't think I need it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm already like pretty dumb. So.
Great. Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll see. We're going to find out in this show.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see exactly where you're at with maybe you are as dumb as you say you are.
I hope so.
Well, thank you for being on the show, Emily. We're really excited to have you.
Thank you.
Frank, how about you, man? Same question. So first of all, welcome on the show. But what is your current relationship to cannabis? Obviously, you're high right now. Is this normal for you?
Oh, absolutely. First off, weed's not a hobby. It's a lifestyle. And I do get stoned a lot every day. I think Emily's watched me get stoned.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah, that's my alarm clock.
Badge of honor.
No, I started smoking when I was like 18, and then I got back into it when I was like 20. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you had like a 2-year period where you were kind of like, you know.
The hot chicks, in high school, there was like older chicks that like took me to get stoned because we all like hung out and they're like, we smoke weed. And I was like, I also smoke weed, but I'd never smoked weed before. And then we got super baked. And then I was like, oh. Chicks are boring. Marijuana is great. And then I just started smoking a lot more weed. But once I started making money and then I was like, oh, I could spend money on weed. Like I could spend my money. On
right.
Weed. Then I was like, oh, I could, I'd rather just do this.
Oh yeah.
Cause I don't drink as much and I really don't drink at all.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Hey man, they're finding out more and more that it's just, not as good for you as we thought. Alcohol.
You made that sound like weed the way you phrased that.
Weed?
Yeah, you're like, it's not as good as you thought. I was like, and then you said alcohol. I was like,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean alcohol. No, you'll never see me bash weed on a pro weed show. Outside of it. Okay, well, where are you on a scale of 1 to 10, Frank? How high are you right now?
I'm at like a 7. I'm at a good like 7 or 8. I've done a few dabs. I've definitely smoked a few bowls. So yeah, I'm pretty good.
Hell yeah. Okay, great. Well, glad to have you here, man. Thanks for being here. And before we get into our first segment here, though, DJ Blue Dream, do you want to lead everybody and our guests as well as our audience in a little bit of a moment of prayer?
A moment of prayer, indeed. Here we go. Guys, please feel free, if you're at home, to join us in the sacred simultaneous toke. Emily, you're welcome to have a sip of water or whatever. Yeah. want for your vape pens or your dabs or your edibles, then go. Let's do it.
Yeah.
We gotta have smoke circles. I feel like smoke circles might be a thing of the pre-COVID era.
Yeah, no one's gonna be passing joints anymore.
No one's passing a joint. That, this is the closest.
Nobody wants that to happen.
Or everyone's gonna be hitting bongs with masks on.
That's gonna stain your bong. You're gonna get a round stain there.
Yeah.
Time.
Or they'll come up with some attachment. You can put your mask.
Yeah, I think everybody's just gotta smoke solo now. Probably better that way.
Yeah, we're all adults. We can afford it.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Awesome. So this first segment here, this is actually gonna be something that we're gonna come back to. It's going to be kind of a runner that we do throughout the show. But this segment is called Weedvertisement.
Tired of.
It's the longest sound effect, and I made it for one of our first shows in like 2017 when I had no idea how long sound effects should be because I've never done that before. So it's like a 45 second sound effect. So I'm just going to cut it off
I like long form sound effects. I think that we've gotten away from
you're right.
I like a sound
music and stuff.
Yeah, I like a sound effect where I can play it, walk away, do some shit, and then come back.
These days, everyone's about short form sound effects. You know, it's like the culture shifted. It's not long form is where the art is.
That's right. So basically, you guys are going to, for this first segment here, we need some advertisements for our podcast here. And we have some kind of like off little advertisements here that we're going to give you the product for. And we're going to give you guys each together, you guys are going to do this together, like a minute to try to create a commercial for us. Does that make sense? It must not have, because it didn't make sense to the sober person or the stone guy.
Yeah. So you're gonna give us a thing. We got to make up a commercial.
Yeah, we're trying to get sponsors for the show. So we're just gonna tell you the product and give them a little sample of how.
Podcast,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Awesome. So this product, this is called Imperfect Hardware. Imperfect Hardware. It's like a box, I guess. Does that make sense?
It's sort of like, you know, Imperfect Produce, which is a subscription box where they will send you fruit that was like has the spot on it or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So it's like so it's like Imperfect Hardware. It's like a box and it's got like hard drives to your computer, but also it's just like there were Epstein's hard drives. So like it's like you're fucked.
Exactly.
Like a curse. It's
or it could just be broken nails or bolts.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What have you? Yeah.
I don't know why I went straight for the Epstein, but
you went straight to Epstein. That happens a lot. But DJ Blue Dream, do you want to give them a little bit of intro music here for like commercial sounding music?
Yeah.
100%. And then you guys have 1 minute to try together to pitch this box. Perfect tone.
Are we going now?
Oh, wait, do you guys like
is the commercial starting?
Yeah, or do you guys okay, now the commercial. Yes. Okay. I'm so confused.
Hey, what's up, stoners? Do you love it when your stuff doesn't work perfectly?
You guys like boxes? you guys like boxes? Well, I love boxes too, and I think you should get this box because it's got imperfect stuff in it.
And it's going to be shipped to your door, your doorstep.
And it'll be delivered by a guy that kind of looks like me, who isn't quite sure if it's the right apartment he's supposed to be delivering it to.
And he's got a limp.
Yeah. And a fucked up eye. Yeah.
Nothing is perfect on his body.
Yeah. He is as imperfect as the stuff he is delivering.
Guys, so we put it out there and we got some notes back from the advertiser. they love it generally, but they were like, most of the commercial is about the person delivering the hardware box to them.
Well, they got to know what the guy that looks like, because it's only one guy delivering all the boxes.
Okay, that's fair. That's
for safety.
That's good.
Yeah. Hey, we didn't say it was a perfect delivery system.
It's not perfect at all. But that's the appeal.
I love it. It's great. Awesome. Well, you know what? We'll take it as it is, and we'll use it, and later on we'll have a couple other products that we need you guys to create commercials for.
I have a letter.
We're ready to get, you know, we're ready to bring cannabis into the capitalistic world.
Hey, stoners, thanks again for listening to the podcast. If you don't know, we actually do live streams of our podcast every single week, Fridays at 6 p.m. Pacific. So this Friday, September 4th, we've got two really great comedians, Greg Gallant and Broti Gupta, are going to come on the show. They're going to get high and do some comedic challenges. So check it out, September 4th, Friday, 6 p.m. on youtube.com/I'm2effinhigh. Thanks again for listening, you guys, and stay 2F'n high.
That last challenge got me so anxious, it made me less stoned. I was like, wait, you're giving me homework? You know what I mean? Like, I thought you were just going to be like, all right, now we got math problems for you guys. I'm just like, ah.
There's some of that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
We go back.
Our next section.
Geography.
Geography. All right, stoners, let's go on to our next section, quadratic equations.
A little chaos theory math.
Well, actually, though, this next segment is called Hi, Splain It To Me.
Mm.
Right.
Damn it, I keep looting. Oh, okay.
So the way Hi, Splain It To Me works is I'm going to give you guys something real that exists, and to the best of your ability, the best you possibly can, whether you know anything about it or not, you're going to try to explain it to us. What it is, how it works, that sort of thing. And how we're going to do this, since one of you is stoned and one of you is sober, is we're actually going to have one of you, while each other are going, you are going to take your headphones off because you're each going to try to explain the same thing. Does that make sense?
At the same time?
No. So like when Frank is going, Emily, you'll have your headphones off so you can't hear what he's describing.
Oh, okay.
So but it's the same exact thing, and we're gonna see
we're gonna
the
explain
stoned
it the best.
Person or the sober person explain it better.
Oh, I'm gonna kill this because I'm simple as fuck.
Right.
We'll pull up the afterwards we'll pull up like a scientific explanation of the thing and see see which one matches it more.
Oh damn. Yeah. Oh shit. Okay. Yeah. Oh, all right, maybe I kind of maybe I spoke too soon.
Maybe we'll see.
You didn't
tell
me I had to know about the thing already. I thought it was
maybe not.
You don't have
you can
to
bullshit
yeah.
your way
oh,
through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. So Emily, let's start with you. Let's have Frank take your headphones off. And Emily, we're going to start with you, and you get 1 minute to try to explain what happens to your brain when you read.
Oh, shit. Well, for me, nothing, because I don't try to read, but I think what happens is micro cells go from your eyes, the light transfers to your eyes.
Okay.
And then just like shoots straight to your brain.
Right.
And you know, there's probably like blood involved somehow. Something like some sort of blood flow.
Blood involved? Oh,
yeah.
God.
Okay. Probably to the back of your cerebral cortex.
Right.
And then, you know, to a different part of your brain so that you can absorb whatever you're reading, like the information.
Okay.
Great. That's a pretty good explanation.
That's really helpful, Emily. Thank you for that. You know, we're actually going to ask, Frank the same thing here and see what he has to say.
Should I take my headphones?
Oh, here we got to, I'll type it in the chat. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Should I take mine off?
I guess you don't have to because you've already answered. I guess it's whoever.
Yeah, I kind of want to hear what he says.
Technically, yeah.
Oh no. Okay.
So Frank,
You
have 1 minute to try to explain what happens to our brain when we read.
Oh fuck! God damn it! So the brain, it's hemispheres and stuff. It's the best way to describe it's like a fist. There's this little part here at the base, which is kind of like our lizard brain, which is like all the fucking like eat, sleep, fuck, dumb shit that we have to do to survive. Up top all here is kind of like, you know, what we do is like, you know, a person, you know, like functions, like higher brain, you know, stuff like, you know, like your brain connecting to your eyes, like your, the ocular socket or whatever the fuck that thing is that connects the, you know, that's that thread shit. That's all up top. So like, you know, when you read your brain is processing the words visually, and then it's sending signal, your eyes are sending signals and it goes back to your brain. Your brain's doing all the processing. It's more of like, you know, it's like a webcam and a computer. It's like you're seeing the picture, the blah, 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 blah. And then, yeah, I guess the best way to explain it, right? So dumb lizard brain, eat fucking and shit. Up top is like, you know, right. Important stuff that you have to do is like, you know, an intelligent human being.
I love it. I love it.
Was that a good answer?
Great answers. Hey, you know, we're not here to judge the answers, whether they're right or wrong. We're just here. We're scientists. We're observers of everything.
By the way, my wife is thoroughly impressed because she's a therapist. So she had to use this whole thing. She told me this explanation yesterday when she was talking about therapy. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, all right. I think that's the same thing.
Perfect.
I love that.
I
love how you guys, you kind of both like explain a very similar part of it, but in completely with like different models almost for how you came at it.
I didn't know about the lizard brain thing.
Yeah, that's why, like, if you get angry or anything, that's why it takes us a while to, like, it's easier to react immediately because that's the, because, you know, stimulus goes to the lizard brain first before it gets to the part where your thought and reasoning happens. So that's why, like, when people have anger problems, they're just like, ah, you know, instead of being like, well, you know, maybe I should calm down, you know?
Here is here's an interesting fact about reading. Your brain, when you read, the same part of your brain that lights up when you experience something lights up when you read. But it doesn't do that when you like watch a movie. So it's like the reading makes it more of an experience or similar to an experience.
I think it's because it's like you gotta involves your imagination and all that jazz, like involves other stuff. Whereas like when you're watching a movie, it's more visual, so you've already
totally
what it looks like. You're just
the work's taking been in the done for you.
Yeah, you're taking in the information.
You're also not using like four of the five senses. Am I wrong about that? I guess you're using sound and sight, but you're not using like touch or smell and taste and stuff, whereas like good writing sometimes makes you feel all those other senses and shit.
Like, you know, I was gonna use a Harry Potter example, but I don't want to tell everyone how nerdy I am, you know, like the first like you read the books and then you watch the movies and you're like, all right, like how accurate was is that what I was imagining?
Great, let's do another one, guys. This is great. So Emily, I'm gonna have you take your headphones off this time, and Frank's gonna go first, right? And DJ Blue Dream, do you want to give him a setup here?
Sure.
Frank,
can you explain, Frank, how a satellite works?
Oh, damn. wait, what do you mean, like?
Not a natural satellite, but like a man-made.
A man-made.
Satellite.
A one in space or a one on the ground? Yeah.
When it's space.
And also, like, what am I explaining? Like how it transmits radio signals, or like, like what is its purpose?
How does it work? Are we able to use them?
Oh, okay. So like we got communications. We have communication centers, or like, you know, whatever the fuck, you know, that's called like, NASA's got those big fucking satellites and stuff. So they shoot, I think it's radio wave frequencies. See, they're like, I don't know, fucking high end. I don't know. It's got something to do with radio frequencies, you know, and they shoot it up at the satellite and then they beam back and forth. So it's, I guess, just a way for them to transfer information. I mean, if it's a satellite, depending on what it is, it could take pictures or like pick up on other transmissions or like, you know, also transmit shit. It just depends, you know, whether it's going to be used for good or evil. I saw Person of Interest like a week ago. One, Will Smith's still fucking good. And so is that old white guy. What is his name? Anyway, he was in A Few Good Men. You know, the You Can't Handle the Truth guy. Was that him?
Jack Nicholson?
No, it wasn't Jack Nicholson. Ah, man, I just blanket assumed.
Are you talking about the movie Enemy of the State?
Yes, Enemy of the State. No.
With
Will Smith and... fuck.
What is that dude's name?
God damn it.
Gene Hackman.
There we go.
Yeah.
I can't believe I forgot those two guys.
There it is.
Those are the questions you should be asking me. You know what I mean? Like, I can describe how satellites work, but I can't fucking pick what actor was in. Anyways, yeah. So, radio frequencies.
Okay, that's great. I love that answer. Thank you. Let's have Emily come back on.
So we all do this. Yeah.
Seemed like you guys had a good time.
We're trying to remember an actor from a movie.
Okay.
So Emily, in a minute, in 1 minute's time, 60 seconds, can you explain to us soberly how satellites work? Like, how is it that we are able to have satellites do stuff for us?
See, I told you I'm dumb. Like, I don't... It's not about being
to the best
sober.
Of your knowledge. To
I'm
the
just
best
dumb.
Of how do you think it works?
So is it like it's kind of like a strong like cell phone signal, you know, that like shoots
definitely.
It like reflects, it has like pings from other satellites back down to Earth.
Yeah.
To like send cool stuff.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
It orbits. And they like blink and they're shiny and they're like very fragile. So
love it.
Great.
That was
That's
great.
How they work.
Both great. Love it. Okay, so for this final one here, you guys are gonna do this together. And you guys are gonna try to work together, stoner and sober, two different families. From different sides of the tracks, and try to explain what a crustacean is and name as many crustaceans as you can.
Crustaceans like a hard shell. I want to say it's not a mammal, it's or a bicuspid. It's a fucking god. Damn it. Well,
it's like a crab, right?
Yeah, crustacean is a crab. Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of like crustacean family. I think the
exoskeleton.
Yeah, those amphibian. Fuckers. No, not amphibian. No. So we're talking like shrimp, cuttlefish,
lobster?
Lobsters, crawdads,
snails.
but like, thing, like, you know.
Hermit crabs?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's anything in the crab, like shrimp, crab, Alaska crabs. I think it's just crabs. I think it's I want to ask my wife.
All right, that's perfect. That's 1 minute. Good job, guys. Good job. That was great.
There's a lot of crustaceans.
That's high explain it to me. I think our readers got quite a lot of good information there. Let's see if we
did you say our readers?
Oh, did I? Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm very high. Our listeners. I'm trying to look up crustaceans.
What if we have people who will only read transcripts of the show after they're done, but never watch it? This is for them.
They're called journalists.
it's a good idea because if they do, it'll make them feel like they're having an experience.
Oh, sure.
We learned that earlier.
Yeah, I want someone to experience our show.
Guys, that was great. That was super fun. How are you doing so far? So, you know, Frank, you're high. Emily, you're sober. Frank, you're high. Emily, you're sober. I'm stoned. You're getting put on the spot here, having to do all this different stuff. How are you doing so far?
Those are hard. Like I feel stoned. So I can't think, but I did just wake up from a nap. So is that kind of like what being stoned feels like?
That's very similar to relaxed, refreshed, loose. Mm-hmm. How are you doing, Frank?
I'm pretty high. I could be higher though. Do you want me to repack that?
Yeah, I'm gonna
talking about white. I'm not just like talking to an imaginary person to the right of me.
Yeah, because that would make you so high. We'll continue to go here because we actually we've got another offer here for another product, and we need to. Actors and comedians and performers such as yourself to help us sell this product in a commercial. This product is called Who's Undies?
Who's Undies?
Who's?
Hey, yo, do you hate paying a lot of money for underwear?
I hate paying a lot of money for underwear.
Right? Don't you wish there was like, I don't know, like a subscription service where you could just pay money and someone could bring you a pair of underwear and you could just wear them and then put them in a box and then send them away.
Does that exist?
Yeah, man. See, a lot of other people don't want to have to wash their underwear.
I don't want to have to wash my underwear.
Exactly. So you could subscribe to Who's Undies. And yeah, you just open a box before your day starts. You put on some not so fresh pair of underwear that you know have only been worn at least three other times.
I have one question.
Absolutely.
Who's Undies?
Exactly.
All right, guys. Big hit. Big hit with the advertiser. Big
Good
numbers.
Job.
Big yep. numbers coming in. That was great. Yeah. We loved it. We love the yeah. smooth.
The marketing department loves it. The money department loves it.
When do we get our checks?
Yeah.
Say that again?
When do we get our checks?
You know, this whole thing with the post office and the postal service is a fucking, isn't it a nightmare?
It
so
is.
We'll see. We'll see.
Who's undies? Who's checks?
Who's checks? what a blast. What a blast. Awesome. That's great. We're gonna file that away. That'll be a commercial someday. Do you guys like movies?
Yeah. I fuck movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you guys like monologues in movies? Do you have favorite monologues? That you love?
Not that I remember off the top of my head.
That's all right. I'm just curious. Because this next segment.
That makes me want to memorize a monologue.
Yeah, what was that? Patriot Day?
Patriot Day?
No, Independence Day.
Independence Day. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the president.
Patriots Day. I think that's that Mark Wahlberg movie about the Boston Marathon bombing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one. There's probably a monologue in that, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah.
What's crazy is it's the exact same monologue as the one.
Yeah, just with the Boston accent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we remind everybody that him and his friends beat up a black kid when they were in high school. Mark Wahlberg. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Real. I mean, he went to jail for it. For like months.
Yeah. Dude, yeah.
Yeah. He like blinded him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a movie star.
Everything worked out real well.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg. Bad vibes. Bad vibes.
Oh, he says, you know, he says the N-word a lot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, this segment, back to monologues, this segment is called Marijuanalogues.
To be or not to be.
Super high right now.
That is the question.
Right. So how this version of Marijuana Logs works is we are going to show you a little bit of a famous monologue from a film, and we're going to stop it somewhere. And whether you know that monologue or not, if you've seen the movie or not, you're going to try to finish the monologue from where we stopped it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it doesn't have to be accurate, obviously. It's not, you know.
Obviously not, yeah, for sure. To the best of your knowledge or ability. So DJ Blue Dream, should I pull them up or do you
I can do it if you want. Yeah, either way.
Great. Why don't you pull them up?
Great.
And let's watch this first one. Frank, this is gonna be you. All right. And this is from the film Legally Blonde 2.
Today is supposed to be about education. So instead, I want to tell you about the education you all have given me over the past 3 months.
What about Bruiser's bill? We still need 15 signatures.
She's blowing it.
See, one day I came to Washington to help my dog Bruiser, and somewhere along the way I learned a really unexpected lesson. I know what you're thinking. Who is this girl? And what could this simple, small-town girl from Bel Air have to say to all of us? Well, I'll tell you. It's about something that's bigger than me. Or any single act of legislation. This is about a matter that should be of the highest importance to every American. My hair. You see, there's a salon in Beverly Hills. It's really
fancy. Stop it there. Yeah, it's
beautiful. Fine. But it's impossible to.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's a salon in Beverly Hills, and it's, you know, it's my favorite place to go, and, you know, being blonde's very important. Speaking of important things, all lives matter, and so do blue lives matter, and as a blonde woman here making legislation, I just want to let everybody know that they're trying to take our guns away, and QAnon is real, and if you vote for me, I'll make sure no minorities ever stay on your lawn.
Great.
That's how I remember the movie. I can't remember.
Yeah, but, no.
That might have been like a deleted scene or something.
No, movies are all about how we interpret them, right? And so
I can't wait for someone to clip that out of context.
There's some one of our readers from our transcripts, one of our journalists.
Yeah.
It's gonna be in a Meg Wright fucking article.
Yep. Absolutely. That was great. That was great. Awesome. And so Emily, let's have you. We're gonna watch this monologue. This is a famous monologue from the film Jerry Maguire.
I've heard of it.
Jerry Maguire. Yeah, Tom Cruise movie. I think the late 90s.
97, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong.
97.
Well, let me just say, as I ease out of the office I helped build, I'm sorry, but it's a fact that there is such a thing as manners. A way of treating people. These fish have manners. These fish have manners. In fact, they're coming with me. I'm starting a new company, and the fish will come with me. You can call me sentimental. The fish, they're coming with me. Come on, come on. New company.
Let's stop it there. Let's continue it from there.
These fish are coming with me. You know what else is coming with me? You, George, in the back, you're coming with me. We're gonna go. Actually, I'm gonna take you guys to the Church of Scientology. I have a lot of important things to talk about there. Not right here. I'm quitting now, but I'm gonna. You guys just trust me. It's like, cool. It's like, I'll teach you about satellites. And these fish are going to have a better life. Show me the money.
Show me the money. That was brilliant. That was brilliant. What a great recollection of that monologue. What a
great
interpretation of it. I thought it was, it was pretty perfect.
So you saw the L. Ron Hubbard director's cut, right? Where they left that all the Scientology themes in throughout the movie.
Yeah, it was really a better cut, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know he hasn't seen his kids in like 6 years?
Is that real?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Why?
Because of Scientology?
Scientology.
No way.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wait,
did the church say that he can't see him, or like it's like a custody thing?
It's his ex-wife left, and then there was like that whole thing, and then like the church just they consider them suppressive people because his wife's got custody of him, so they don't allow him to see his kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't do that. They don't do that at my church. Church of Weed. You can see your kids as much as you want at the Church of Weed.
Yeah, as long as there's an appointed officer with you. Because you are on parole.
Oh, man. So fun. That was a blast. Guys, before we get to this last thing here, let's check in real fast with DJ Blue Dream for DJ Blue Dream's Good Vibes Minute. I'm picking up
good vibrations. Good vibes. She's giving me excitation. Not bad vibes. Bad vibes, get out of here.
DJ Blue Dream's Good Vibes Minute.
All right, so I since we were on that kick earlier, when you guys were explaining stuff, I felt like this. I felt like I was learning new shit, which I don't know. It's a feeling I feel like I miss from school. You know, that feeling of like learning new shit, but about stuff that I'm not explicitly seeking out to study, which is I feel like most of your adult life. So that was cool.
Yeah.
This is something I think was interesting to me. Like a lot of inventions that we now take for granted or use were created from either out of spite or out of like settling a bet or something, including the camera with you know, he was trying to settle a bet about whether a horse raises all its four legs at the same time, and so had to invent, or the video camera, invent film for that. And so this is something interesting I found about the invention of the automatic telephone, like a telephone that doesn't require a switchboard with operators. So in the late 1880s, there was this undertaker in a small town called Enfield, I think, in New York, it was a guy called Stroger, who was the only undertaker in that town. And he ran a really profitable business because of that. But then suddenly one day his work started like just dropping off, in a huge way, where suddenly he had almost no, new, what's the word for a client? I mean, if it's a
bodies,
if it's a dead body. Yeah. No new dead client bodies coming in.
Oh, a customer.
And then found out that there was like a new undertaker in town, but he was like, well, how come this new undertaker's taking all his business? He couldn't figure it out. And what it turned out to be was that the telephone operator in town was married to that new undertaker. And so whenever calls would come in for Stroger's business, she would just reroute them to this new undertaker's office.
Oh.
So he was getting all the bodies that were supposed to go to Stroger. And so just out of like spite, Stroger invented the automatic telephone machine so that we don't now have to go through a switchboard.
No way.
I guess not even spite, but you know, just a way to like ensure
took out a whole industry. Hilarious.
So he could like do his job again.
Yeah, like,
that's crazy. So he ended up, did he go, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, did he go back to being an undertaker, or was he just, was he riding that automatic telephone
wave? It says he invented it, then patented his automatic telephone exchange, and left the undertaking business to mass produce his new invention.
Oh, so
he teamed up with family members and friends, created the Stroger Automatic Telephone Exchange Company.
And then he killed that guy.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but for me, for my sensibilities at least, the telephone business is an upgrade over the undertaker business. I'd rather be
telephone. I'd rather deal with dead bodies. You don't have to worry about customer service.
Customer service is pretty terrible. It's pretty awful. That's
you know
true.
What I mean? You just got to deal with like a crying family, and you're like, there, it'll be fine. Then you just leave.
That's true. What were you going to say, Emily?
Oh, you'll always have business because people are always dying.
Yeah.
But like with automatic telephone, something new is going to come out, you know.
The cell phone, right?
Cell phone.
Put that guy right out of business. Mm-hmm. Put him right
out
of business.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, some form of undertaker is like one of the oldest jobs of all time, right? Like if it wasn't an undertaker, whoever did the burying or whoever did.
Yeah. Call Steve.
The cremation.
I guess. We got a dead body. What are we gonna do? Steve loves those.
Yeah, that is true. Like early on, when we first were figuring out what to do with dead bodies, like it would make sense that the person that liked dead bodies would do something with them.
Yeah,
like the person comfortable with them.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, do you want that guy around the dead bodies, though? The one who wants to be around the dead bodies?
I'll take care of your grandma.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, I think that there's some sordid stuff there.
I got a friend who's an anthropologist, so she had to work at a coroner's office for like a few years, so she had to like boil flesh off of bones and shit and stuff. She said it sounds like teriyaki chicken.
No.
Yeah, said it ruined teriyaki chicken for her for the rest of her life.
No, yeah, I love teriyaki chicken. I'll never do that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep liking it.
I feel like I grossed everybody out.
What's that?
I said I feel like I grossed everybody out.
No. With what? With the flesh boiling?
No, the teriyaki chicken.
the teriyaki chicken.
She said it smells like teriyaki chicken.
Yeah, she said it smelled spot on like teriyaki chicken. She was like,
I don't believe that. That's
which
crazy.
isn't like a bad, you know what I mean? Because she was like, I love teriyaki chicken. She was like, I just couldn't eat it anymore. I was like, damn.
Is that because of the embalming fluid? Maybe
it's the embalming fluid, and it's also like a bunch of other stuff. And the way, like, because she's talking about like when you have to like treat and bleach bones. There's a lot of like chemicals and stuff. So she was just saying like the way it smells, it reminded her. It's like maybe it didn't smell exactly like, but it reminded her.
Right.
She was like, and it's also like, you know, it's meat, it's flesh. You know what I mean, it's just like cooking stuff.
That's true.
I'd hate to be cooking it and be like, man, I'm kind of fucking hungry. Like, yo, this smells like teriyaki chicken. He's all excited.
Oh, man. Oh, God, I have that whole carton of fresh brown rice over there. Oh, man. This goes so well with it.
It'd be tempting.
It would be. It would be.
I feel like I'd eat a person 2 days into being stranded somewhere. I'd be like, dog, I'm hungry, bro. Come on.
Oh, man. Good vibes. Good vibes, DJ Blue Dream. Did you have others to share regarding that as
No, that was it. I mean, there's other ones. But you know what? You'll have to tune in next week to find out.
Yeah, I love that human innovation can sometimes just come from being pissed off. Just being so mad.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Well, let's do this last little thing here. You guys have been so helpful so far with these to begin with, and we certainly need one more here. Commercial for the show. We've got a product. This is called the Couch of the Month Club. The Couch of the Month Club. Interesting. I'm really excited to see what you guys do with this.
Hey, you know that time of the month?
Yeah. Usually second week in.
Yeah, full moon.
Yep.
It happens to all of us. Well, not all of us, but most of us.
Yeah.
Half of us. Well, less than half of us.
Yeah, but it affects all of us in the end.
It affects everybody. And you know you need a special couch for that time.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
Yep. So you just, you know, instead of constantly having to replace a couch every month, you could just buy a replacement couch.
That's such a great idea.
Yeah.
How does it work, Frank?
You know what? I'm not really too sure.
It just works. That's how good it is.
I just got a vague idea. I notice, you know, if I just, let's just say you could kind of feel it in the air. It's almost like an unbreakable tension, as if, you know, someone's really upset at you. And you're like, you know what? I think it's time to break out that couch.
Yeah, I mean, that was a perfect explanation. Very scientific.
Perfect. Guys, that's perfect. That's perfect. That's our that's our commercial right there.
Yeah. Right. The only note that the advertiser had was they wanted to hear more about the delivery guy as well. so we'll record a follow-up part later. That's about the delivery person.
Yeah. Just curious about the delivery person, like you know, what's wrong with them, basically. If you could just highlight what's wrong with them.
Well, everything. Yeah. Just right back everything.
It's just one guy having to move one couch.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Guys, what a blast. What a blast. This is so much fun. We had stoners versus sobers, just like the first rendition of this. We didn't come to a conclusion because that's not what we're here to do. We're here to observe, right? And we observed, and I think we saw some brilliant stuff from both sides of the ball tonight. On the stone side, on the sober side. But most importantly, how are you guys doing? Did you have fun? Are you feeling good?
I feel great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to talk to people.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Nice. We sure do appreciate you guys coming on. Emily, where can people find you on online or anything that you'd like to promote?
My website, emilycomedy.com. You can find all my links there.
Perfect.
Watch some videos. It's good times.
Hell yeah. Check out emilycomedy.com. And how about you, Frank?
I am doing a lot of podcasts and stuff. You can catch me tonight at 8 p.m. At the Comedy Store's podcast Twitch channel. I think it's just a Comedy Store. Yeah, we're just doing stuff in the window. And yeah, I got a podcast called Buddies. And I also play a lot of video games.
So nice.
That's about it.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
Great. We'll be back, no show this Tuesday, but we'll be back on Friday at 6 p.m. With Carl Tart and Chinadu Unaka. They're going to be getting high and doing some comedic challenges. We're very excited to have them. So please check us out. I'm2effinghigh.com or at I'm2effinghigh, Instagram or Twitter. And stay 2effing high, you guys.
Oh, hello, you.
What's up, hoes?
I'm Mary Kay McBrayer.
I'm Mary Amelia Byer.
I'm Rachel Estridge.
And we like scary movies.
Let's be more specific. We like analyzing scary movies.
Okay, but let's be a little bit more specific. We like making fun of scary movies.
Let's be even more specific. We have to make fun of scary movies so that we can sleep at night.
We host a horror comedy podcast called Everything Trying to Kill You that rips all your fave horror movies a new one.
And bonus, we'll tell you jokes from the perspectives of
feminist ethnic minorities
and queer women, which might be something you haven't considered before.
Sure looks like Hollywood hasn't.
So check out Everything Trying to Kill You.
New episodes every other Friday on Campfire Media.
Campfire.